This morning, I'm about to begin a series of teaching by asking a question: does it really matter? And my focus this morning will be your word. Does your word really matter? I want you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. And we're going to look at one verse, verse 21. And this is how the Word of God does read. Death and life and the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You may be seated. Our Father and our God, we give praise and thanksgiving this morning for your mercy, for your grace. For Lord, you alone are God. But Lord, was it sufficient for this calling to which you've called us men to? Lord God, all of us are weak and completely inadequate. May you now perfect this man, that his mind will be awakened, his understanding will be stimulated to understand, to proclaim your word. But Lord, I pray for your word that will be dispensed in this place. May it reverberate all through this world, that men and women can know that indeed God has spoken. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray. And the church say amen. An adage, by definition, is a short statement expressing a general truth. And one such adage that appeared in the March 1862 edition of the Christian Recorder, a periodical published by the African Methodist Episcopal Church, goes something like this: sticks and stones may break my bone, but words will never break me. Ideally, this statement, from a purely physical standpoint, is true. Sticks and stones, they can break your bones. But words, though it is not physical in nature, has tremendous power. Power far greater than sticks and stones. That words can do more damage. Words can potentially destroy a person's life. And you don't have to look far to observe the devastation that words have caused. In history, nation have risen against nation because of prideful words that were said. We see animosity and strife among friends and family because someone said something that was so hurtful that they could not forgive. We see church split because someone said something that was so offensive that you had to leave. We see marriages collapse because of verbal abuse as well as words that were said that was inappropriate. And you know, I don't have to look at a crystal ball this morning to know that there are many people out there, perhaps sitting under my voice this morning, who are haunted by words that were spoken into their lives. words that might have been spoken years ago into their lives. And at times they might have to even take an extra step of sitting in the seat of a therapist to tell him or tell her to help them put the brokenness together. You know, without a doubt, words have the unparalleled potential to bring catastrophic damage to a person's life more than sticks and stones can do. And the Bible is well aware of this. Between the Old and the New Testament, the teaching continued to inform us, the Bible informs us that the words we say out of our mouth are powerful. Using the colloquialism of the tongue, the book of Proverbs says to us here, it said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. James follows in the same suit when James now says to us, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among its members as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse man, who is made in the image of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. The Bible is unambiguous. What we say out of our mouth matters. And especially if you're a Christian. Because as a Christian, the litmus test of your spiritual maturity is the ability to bridle your tongue. That you can zip it and patiently speak words that are appropriate, that give grace to the hearer. And every time you see a person that bridles their tongue, as Jim would say, that person is able to control their nature. But unfortunately, mastering your tongue is not a walk in the park. For many of us Christians, instead of being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, we reverse it both. We reverse all three. We're slow to listen, quick to talk, and quick to anger. But this morning, I want to tender to you that God is very much concerned about what comes out of your mouth, as it is concerned about what you do in your deeds. Because God understands that your mouth, your words are powerful. And this morning, that is what I want to look at. I want to look at how powerful our words can be. And I want to ask through two questions, the why and the how. Why is our word so important to God? But also, how can we gain mastery over what we say out of our mouth? Let's set this in a context. Let's do a preamble. I want to begin, first of all, by looking at what I call the nature of words as described in the Bible. If you pay close attention to the creative narrative, you will see something kind of strange. Genesis chapter 1 does not begin with God sitting in the workshop with a chisel in his hand and designing his creation. Neither does it begin with God sitting in his workshop with a big template or paper drawing and designing what he's going to create. Rather, Genesis chapter 1 at verse 3 begins with God speaking. The creation began with a word. And Genesis chapter 3 tells us, it said, chapter 1 verse 3 said, let there be light, and there was light. We see the same thing in verse 6, in verse 9, in verse 11, in verse 14, in verse 20, in verse 24, in verse 26. God spoke and everything obeyed. In essence, the word of God was the agent of creation. But not only is the Word of God the agent of creation, the Word of God is the one that is even preserving creation. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 will say this. It says of Jesus, He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. In other words, the Lord Jesus is upholding this universe by the word of His power. Not only did the Word of God become the agent of creation, it became that which is holding creation in place. It is the Lord Jesus that's holding everything in place by His Word. And with one word, everything can dissipate if He chooses to. That shows us the long-suffering of God. But what this essentially tells us, these verses, is that it not only tells us that The power that is embedded in the Word of God. But He also reveals to us another truth. That henceforth, from creation, the Word will have power. Now, I want you to think about it. God now in verse 26 says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And not only did God make man, He didn't make him dumb. He endowed him with the gift of communication. That this creation that I've made in my image will be able to talk to me, will be able to pray to me, will be able to worship me, will be able to communicate with his other partner, will be able to communicate. In essence, we as creation of God, to some extent, the words that come out of our mouth because we're in the image and likeness of God has power. Not to the extent of God's power, but it has power in itself. I want to take, for example, when we pray. When we pray, it is just not mere words. We are not just talking into space. Rather, when we pray, we are invoking the power of God. That is why James could say to us in James chapter 5, he says, listen, if anyone is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore. There is power in the word of prayer. But not only is there power in the word of prayer, there is power in worship. We just don't make no noise when we worship. The psalmist said the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. The Lord is glorified. And every once in a while in the Old Testament, when they begin to worship God, they tell us that the Shekinah glory of God will fill the temple because the aroma of the sacrifice is pleasing and soothing to God. God responds to worship. And we worship by words. There is power that we invoke. But look at it on the negative side. When someone speaks into your life something negative, those words are not just mere words. They're power. That is why when people speak into our lives, something stirs up in our soul. Whether anger, whether resentment, whether hate. Because there is power in those words. If someone cuts you off and puts a finger out, and say those four-letter words. You just don't say hallelujah by and by. As a pastor, I do say that. But some of you ain't saying hallelujah by and by. You got to put your mouth out and you're going to be ticked till you get a walk that morning because it's out there. Because the word has power. And in a nutshell, God in endowing humanity with the gift of communication as in giving us the power of speech. Your word has power. Well, in the unbelieving world, they can say, so what, Pastor Wally? So what? I have power when I speak the spirit. So what? I will say whatever I want to say. But that is not to be the response of the Christian. As a Christian, you must be extremely careful what you say and how you say what you say. Now, not only because the word has power, let me give you two other things that your word can do. First of all, the word that we speak is important because unwholesome words grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. Begin at verse 29. It said, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. You see, that word in the Greek, unwholesome, is rotten, filthy word. Whether you speak it to yourself or you speak it to somebody else. But only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you have been sealed for the devil. Implication, there's a connection between verse 29, verse 30, on awesome words, grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, let me break it down to you. Indwelling in every one of you that is truly a believer is the Spirit of God. The third person of the Trinity is not called a dead spirit. It's called a Holy Spirit. And he has an overarching goal to help you in your weakness and also to conform you constantly to the image of Jesus. In other words, every day he's trying to take the trash out. Watch out now. He's trying to take the trash out, some of the trash out of your mouth, some of the trash out of your behavior. That is why when you do something wrong, you feel this conviction. It convicts you and lets you know you're wrong. But watch, the person that is trying to get the trash out, all of a sudden you are bringing trash in by what you're saying out of your mouth. That is what grieves the Spirit. The Spirit is grieved because here is a believer. You come to church every morning and the next day you go to your job and see what proceeds from your mouth, because you want to be part of the clique. And you say all kinds of rubbish that should not be said. The Bible said what is done in darkness, we should not even say it out of our mouth. But guess what? We all we say all this nonsense, all this filthy gesturing, all this coerced speech. We don't even care. We speak it to our lives. We speak it to other people. We even speak it to our children. Many call our children names and you tell them that you ain't going to, but how can you? You grieve the Holy Spirit. And many of us speak it to our spouses and the next minute we sleep in the same bed with them. The Lord is saying to you as a believer, your speech is important because I've deposited within you my Holy Spirit. Don't drag him into your filth of your words. Number two, Pastor Wally, why is my word so important? Because every careless word you say has an eternal ramification. Watch what Jesus will say. I want you to look at a couple of verses. Verse Matthew chapter 22, or chapter 12 rather. Begin at verse 36 and 37. Watch what the Lord Jesus says here. He said, but I say to you that for every idle word a man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Lord Jesus, what are you saying? Not only the fact that you're grieving the Spirit, but the fact is that every careless word that is unrepented for, you will give account for it. I want you to think how many words you say a day. I don't know. Some of you are talkatives. You could probably talk the dead up. I'm sorry if you talk a lot. But I want you to think about it. How many words you say a day? And the Bible is saying, if there is any careless word that is unrepented for us, you will give account on the day of judgment. Now think about what words means to God. Think about it. And here we are speaking words into our own lives and into other people's lives. Careless words. We sit there, we maliciously destroy other people's character. And we think we're spiritual. We call each other, churches over, we talk, we break people down. And we think that is good. God is saying you will give account for every word. Every word should come out. You should bless your brother. Bless your sister. And many of us do this and we feel good on Sunday morning. Shouting. What are you shouting for? When your mouth is filthy. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to zip it. Because every careless word you say, you will give account under their judgment. But Pastor Wally, help me out here. I'm guilty. How can I gain mastery over my mouth? Well, the Bible tells us the remedy. And I want to present to you three ways that the Bible designed for you to be able to gain mastery over your speech. The first way is this. Strive to gain mastery over your heart. There is a direct correlation between what is in your heart and what comes out of your mouth. Watch this. The Lord Jesus speaking, Matthew chapter 6, verse 45. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks from what which it has that fills its heart. Lord Jesus is saying, listen, the front line of battle is your heart. Because out of your heart comes those impulses, those emotions, those stuff that ticks you off that you can't control yourself. And if you can master your heart, if you can get mastery over it, you will always speak. That is why you see some people speak all this rubbish. That is because that is what is in their heart. And every time they talk about sex. That is their mind. That is what's filthy in their mind. And every time you talk about somebody's husband, that is your problem. You got to identify what's going on deep down. And that is, you don't need to look at the Bible. Whenever you begin to talk trash, it's because there is trash on the inside. Trash in, trash out, trash everywhere, it comes out. And what the Bible is saying, for you to get mastery over your speech, you need to get mastery over. But Pastor Wally, how can I get mastery over my heart? You can get mastery over your heart by giving the Holy Spirit the preeminence over everything that goes on within you. In other words, you must seek to daily walk in the Spirit. And when those things come to your heart, you say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That is just not a cliche. That's power. That every time those thoughts, every time those things come out and you really want to say it, you can say, shh, rebuke you. That you speak back to that thought. You speak back to your heart. Every time you feel your soul being restless about something that you know is not biblical. And at times, our soul gets restless. Something in us begins to tick. And we say, Pastor, I'm feeling something. They call it this. Let me don't say this. But I know what you call it. But they call it some name, which I'm not going to say on this pulpit. I don't want to get in trouble. But every once in a while, you feel like that. You got to rebuke that spirit. Unless you take a cold shower. Number two, to gain mastery over your words, you must learn how to ponder your words. I want you to pay attention to what it says in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. It said that, out of the righteous man ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. ponder simply means to think and to meditate before you say a word. What is the process of pondering? You got to take it through the filter of the Holy Spirit. I believe that when you want to speak in any situation, in any condition, no matter how difficult, you got to say to yourself, number one, is what I'm going to say with grace seasoned with salt? Is it calling my wife the B word? Come on now. Is that seasoned with grace seasoned with salt? Does that edify my wife? But when you call other people the name, God ain't named them. Ask yourself, ponder those words. Does it glorify God? Ask your word. Listen, we all are into the situation. Does this ponder before you speak? The problem many of us don't do, we don't ponder the words we're saying. But they say the wise man out of his heart, he ponders before he gives an answer. He's not rash in giving an answer. He doesn't just speak his mind. Like some of you say, I got to speak my mind. At times you got to back away and think about what you're about to say. Because words is like sending an email or text message. Once you press send, and you can't say, I'm sorry. Because what comes out of your mouth reveals what's down there. And interestingly, for drunk people, drunk men don't tell no tale. So if you got a drunk husband or drunk wife and call you what kind of name, that is what is down there. He's just bringing it up. But for you as a believer, you need to ponder. Think about what you're saying. Don't just speak words into your life. They manifest itself. Well, finally, to gain mastery over your words, you really need to learn the discipline of listening. One problem that we all have, no, majority of us have, we don't listen well. Have you ever seen two people argue? One person is speaking, the other person is saying, they can't wait to get their own in. They ain't listening to what you're saying, but they're thinking of what they're going to say. They give a rebuttal before you know. They're not listening. We don't listen. All of us don't listen. We're really thinking of how we're going to respond, what we're going to say back. And when you don't listen, you don't hear. Here is the key. At times, when you listen well, the people's foolishness shows. You listen so closely, you begin to see, oh, you feel sorry for them. Because you see, oh, Lord, they're lost. And you don't really need to tell them anything. They just, and all of a sudden, they feel lost themselves. But I don't know what I'm saying. And yeah, you don't know because he's just stupid. I'm listening and I can't figure you out because you're just really stupid. But you don't say it because that word is offensive, but you say it in your heart, amen? But what I'm saying to you is that you cultivate, and it's a discipline. Listen well. Listen well. Don't try to always be defensive. Listen. You are going to hear. And I've seen myself as a pastor, counselor, sitting with people, and I let them talk. And in their speech, they solve their own problem. And I said, did you just hear what you said? They said, what did it? That's the answer. You know what to do. Go fix it. But my brothers and sisters, what does this mean to me this morning? Someone walked in here with their mouth filled with filth. And you major in saying filth. Stop it. Every word you say, if it's unrepented, you will give account. You don't want to mess up what your reward will be in heaven. That is why, as believers in Jesus Christ, hush your mouth. Only speak when it's appropriate, and God will bless your speech. My Father, my God, I give you praise and glory. Indeed, sticks and stones do break a bone. But words, they do more than that. And Father, this morning I realize for us to be truly wise, we must be men and women that bridle our tongues. We must be men and women that don't say everything we feel like saying. But Father, we hold back our words so as to give you glory. Father, I pray for everyone this morning. Give us the grace to be able to gain control and mastery of our own heart, that we can surrender our hearts to the Lord Jesus every day, that as He continues to prune it and remove those filth from our hearts, that our hearts will be filled with grace, will be filled with truth, and our mouth will reflect what's in our heart. And Lord God, I pray, everyone under my voice this morning, give each one the grace that it can know how to buffet their words. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church say amen.